In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands." Amen. I believe that's about the only way you can stir up some is to get your hands on them. Amen. But he said in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And you can be seated. Dear Father, tonight give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to grasp the things of the Word that we need to hear tonight, that the hand of the Lord might be seen. And Lord, tonight we might hear from heaven something that we need to hear. Lord, it'll bless our hearts and challenge us and blister us if we need it. Bless us, Lord, where we stand in need. That'll encourage us where we're discouraged. And Lord, challenge us where we need to be challenged. Thank you for the Word of God tonight that's still pure, free, unadulterated. And Father, we're glad tonight it's with no error and has no contradictions, and thank you for that. Now help us, Lord, to declare the Word, and may we be a blessing and a help as we try to encourage the people. We give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take our text tonight out of verse number 7. Go back and look at verse number 7 tonight, and he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I want to talk about fear tonight. Everybody has fears. There are a lot of fears. And you'll never get rid of all fears. Amen. But we need to direct our fears in the right direction. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. It kind of makes me think of a story I heard. When I think about fear, people, the Bible talks about people's hearts will be fearful. And even in the latter days and in tribulation hour, they'll be so fearful that they'll even die from fear. And a lot of people have died from fear in this life. Made me think of that story of 10 men who were henpecked. Amen. They had henpecked lives, and their wives were the ones that were dominant, and they'd got together, 10 of them had, and they decided they'd join up together and get them a little group and get away from it once a week. And so they did. They was doing that, and the wives found out about it. And while they was having their meeting, the 10 wives come barging in real fast. And as they caught wind of it and saw it, they all scurried out the door or out the side door like a bunch of rats, except one. The women came in and screamed a little bit and laughed a little bit, looked around and went on back home. And those 9 looked back in there and said, "We're going to go back in there and elect him for president since he didn't leave. He's the only one got the guts enough to stand up to." And they went back in and tried to make, and found out he had died. And you can die with fear. And I want to look at this tonight. Fear is something that we need to get rid of. But there's many kinds of it. The Greek word, if you want to know this tonight, the Greek word for fear is phobas, phobos, which we get our English word phobia. Now, I hear, and I didn't when I was a boy, hear too much about phobia. But now we got so many people that's got so many different phobias. They got a phobia of this and a phobia of that, and I got to studying on this, and they said there's over 700 different phobias. Now, can you imagine that tonight? over 700 different phobias. I'll just give you two or three here tonight. Claustrophobia. You know what claustrophobia is? It's the fear of enclosed places, of getting enclosed in. There's one called acrophobia. Acrophobia is the fear of high places. I have a little of that. Amen. I'm like the old fella. And brother, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be no higher than topping fodder, no lower than digging taters. Amen. And the fella said, the Lord said, lo, I'm with you always, not high. So I got a little bit of that acrophobia. Then there's another one called ergophobia. Half of America's got that problem. It's a fear of work. Ergophobia. Amen. And then there's another one called gamophobia, which is the fear of commitment. And that's why so many don't get married and they shack up all the time. They got gamophobia. Then there's another, and I'll give you right quick, just kind of think about it, and the majority of the church people have this one. It's called ecclesiophobia. That's a fear of church. And I believe a lot of people must have a fear of church because you can't fill them up anymore. So there's all kinds of fears. Proverbs chapter 1 says this. I'll give you some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 1 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now the fear of the Lord, I believe that's right. I believe we ought to have the fear of the Lord. Somebody say, I don't fear God. There's a lot of people who don't fear God. But God's going to get the last word. I read in the Word of God in 1 John chapter 4, and verse 18, he said, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God said, perfect love casteth out fear. Remember this, God said it, fear hath torment. We're tormented by fear. We are. Sometimes people, you know, just they run themselves crazy by fear. Matthew said in chapter 10 and verse number 28, Jesus is the one that's done the speaking. He said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body or both soul and body in hell. So God says tonight, we're not to fear man. We're to fear God. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the preacher, Solomon, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the whole duty. Everything. Your duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. Nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. I'm talking to the saved people. Fear is dangerous. Now, everybody fears something. Some fear bugs, some spiders, some snakes, some storms. I know people that thunder three times, don't even have to thunder three times, and they're under the bed. Storms, people, failure, sickness. Afraid they're going to get disease, afraid they're going to have an accident, afraid of a tragedy, afraid of a financial crisis, a trouble of some kind. And many, many on the face of the earth fear death, dying. But I believe perfect love casts out fear, and you won't worry about dying, you won't fear dying. I don't fear dying. Amen, I don't want to go tonight. But I don't fear dying because I know God's grace will be sufficient in that hour. And God's given me the promise of that in His precious Word. I give God the praise and the glory for it. The Bible, throughout it, and I'll not do justice to any of this because we could preach a long time on fear. But there's a lot of fear nots in the Bible. You ought to get your concordance and look them up and study them. Fear not. God said, fear not. The first fear not, He has spoken in the book of Genesis to Abraham. In the 15th chapter, and He told him to fear not. But go in the land. He didn't know where he was going. The second fear not is Hagar, when she's about to perish and drinking the water, and he told her to drink the water and give to her son, and she's going to live. God said, fear not. The third one is to Isaac. So God started off with the patriarchs and told them to fear not. That word fear not, or those two words, fear not tonight, are not something that we have a choice of. That is a command. God said, fear not. Amen. Read it in the Word of God. And you'll find tonight that God teaches us that that is what we need. Amen. Now jot this down about fear tonight. Jot it down. Number one, there is such a thing as holy fear. You should also call it heavenly fear, because that's where it comes from, heaven. There is a holy fear. The holy fear is what I've been talking about tonight. That holy fear is the fear that we love God and that we trust God and we love Him with all our heart and we keep His commandments. That's holy fear. I do fear God tonight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Somebody, I said it a while ago, they'll say, I don't fear anybody or anything. One of the presidents in years gone by said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and that's really not right. That's really not a true statement, but it's been a popular one down through the years. But there is such a thing as a holy fear, and if I got straightened out with it tonight, that's what I'd like to have, and what I desire to have is the holy, heavenly fear of God. I want the biblical fear, because that's what holy fear is. I don't want to fear things, I want to fear God. I want to get my priorities right. Too many times we fear in things that's going to happen. We worry about something that's going, what if this happened and what if that happened? And we have a fear and we won't sleep at night. Fear takes away your sleep. Fear will take away your food. And fear will give you stress and fear will kill you. It really will. And so we need to get rid of that fear, except for having the right kind of fear tonight, the holy fear and the heavenly fear that God gives us. Secondly, there's not only a holy and heavenly fear, but there tonight is a healthy fear. There's a few things I fear tonight that's healthy for me. I've learned tonight that you just don't grab a hold of 110 volts and plug your fingers in the socket. I have a fear for electricity. I know better than stick my head underwater and hold it there. I have a fear of water, and so I respect it. Amen. I've got those things. There's some things, and that's what we call a healthy fear. Lots of things we have. They're healthy. The reason you do those is because you respect it. Amen. I don't handle rattlesnakes tonight because it's just a healthy fear. And we're not planning on practicing that around here. Amen. And I don't even want to get around them. Amen. You said you have a fear of snakes. I do have a sin. That's what I call a healthy fear. I think it's healthy for me to leave them alone. Amen. And you said, what if you get bit by one? Well, if I do, amen, it's not going to be because I picked one up and looked him in the eyes. And it's not going to be because I tried to get bit and tried to catch one of them. It's going to be because it's an accident. And when that's said and done, God is the only one who can take control of it, and God is the only one who can stop it, and if He don't stop it, hey, I'm done for anyhow. God has my number. God knows my appointed time. I don't. I do know I have one. So we find that there's a healthy fear, there's a holy fear, and then thirdly, there's a harmful fear. Here's where the people of God go and get in trouble. We love God. We fear God. Secondly, we have a healthy fear because there's some things we just don't do. We won't jump off a cliff. That's healthy to stay on top. Amen. But we have sometimes a harmful fear. And the Israelites did that. God said to Israel, I want you to, or said to Moses, get you out to 12 men. And I want you to send them down into the land of Canaan. When you get down to the land of Canaan, I want them to search out the land and see what's down there. And they came back with one cluster of grapes on the shoulders of two men, and here they come back into that place, and 10 of those men said, "Hey, there's giants down there, and we will be defeated, and we can't go over there," the majority report. But there was two men, Caleb and Joshua, said, "We can go down there. God will give them into our hands." And they trusted God. They feared God more than they did man, and so they weren't worried about the men. And because of that tonight, the report of the 10, they decided to stay in the wilderness and run around the wilderness for all the rest of the years. That was an that's one of those types, that's a harmful fear. It harmed them. I'll give you one out of the New Testament to think on just for a minute. The 12 disciples, the Lord said to them, He said, "Get in the ship and get over to the other side." So they got in the ship, and while they got in the ship, there come up a storm. And they all got fear. They began to fear for their lives. They're afraid they were going to die. They're afraid the ship's going to sink, and Jesus comes walking on the water. You remember the story? After a while, He calms the storm. But this is a harmful fear for them. If the Lord tells you to do anything, you can rest assured He's going to take care of it, and He's not going to let you perish in it. But it's hard to get these hard heads to understand that, ain't it? It's hard for me to comprehend that when I'm in the midst of a storm, and God's put me in the midst of the storm, and lots of times I've gone through storms, and I whined and cried and worried about the storm. But God has put me in those storms. And I'm not talking about when the thunder and the lightning rolls. I'm talking about the storms of life. And when I get in those storms, it's God that's going to take me through it. And I praise God for every storm I have come through. I hope I never have to face some of them I faced before. Amen. You take a little physical storm sometimes. And brother, sometimes the wind will blow so much, the trees will nearly slap the ground, and you don't believe that they're going to last, and you're just afraid it's going to fall, and the wind's going to blow the building down. Amen. And it looks terrible sometimes, but you come through it, and the rainbow comes up, and the sun comes back up, and you said, "Hey, we've gone through the storm," and we don't seem to worry too much about it till we hit another one. So we have those fears, and that fear's there. So this is a harmful fear. Amen. But some of us have come to the place like the old farmer was. The old farmer, the fella come by, he had been a good farmer for years. He had been making good crops, and somebody come by and said, "Farmer," and called his name, and he said, "How's your cotton crop this year?" He said, "Oh, I didn't plant no cotton." Said, "I was afraid the boll weevils would eat it up." He said, "Well, then how was your corn crop?" He said, "I didn't plant no corn this year. I was afraid the drought would get it." He said, "Well, then how's your potatoes?" Because he had been good at raising all three of them. He said, "How's your potato crop?" He said, "I didn't plant no potatoes." He said, "I was afraid the potato bug's going to eat them up." He said, "I played it safe." And the fella said, "You may go hungry this year." Amen. And so sometimes we have a fear for those things, and we think, "Hey, if we do this, we'll not be able to." You know, sometimes we do that in our church. We think if we do this, it's not going to accomplish anything. But I believe tonight what we need to do is get rid of those fears. Now look at verse 7 of 2 Timothy. I want to look at some things here. I pray that God will bless us and God will help us, and look at it. "For God hath not given us the" what? "Spirit of fear." Amen. Now there's one thing about I don't want the spirit of fear. Fear comes. Everybody in this building gets fear, but I don't want to have the spirit of it. When you got a spirit of fear, it's dwelling with you. And God does not give us the spirit of fear. What does He give us the spirit of? Look here, He said, He gives us but of power. He gives us the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. So God gives us three things here. Look at these. Number one, He endues us with power. Jot it down. God endues us with power. The Bible said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "And you shall be witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the rest of the uttermost parts of the earth." God tells us tonight that we'll get that power. And it's the Holy Ghost's power that God gives us, and He gives us that power of the Spirit to overcome and be overcomers. God does not give us the spirit of fear. Fear will come. But there's something we can do with that fear. There's something we ought to do with that fear. Something we usually don't do with that fear. But God gives us the spirit of power. Secondly, He gives us a spirit of love. And we read that to you a while ago. He not only endues us with the power, but He enriches us with His love. God enriches our soul with His love. Perfect love casteth out fear. What it simply means is this: when we love God enough, and we love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might and all our strength, isn't that the way we're to love Him? Amen. We're not to partially love Him. We're not to halfway love Him. We're to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And if we do that tonight, it means that we are dependent upon Him 100% for everything in our life. And we won't look to the right nor to the left or anywhere else, but we'll look to Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we'll trust Him, and that fear will go away, because perfect love casteth out fear. And this is what we'll say: the devil can't do no more to me than what God will allow him to do. Amen. And God will meet my needs, and God will supply my needs, and God will be with me and never leave me nor forsake me. And we start counting the promises of God, because that perfect love casts out all that fear. Amen. Isn't that where you want to be? That's where I want to be. But yet, what happens? Fear comes. And we start looking at the problem instead of the problem solver. We start looking at the circumstances instead of the Christ. We start looking at the things around us instead of the Lord Himself. And brother, I want to get the place where that perfect love can cast out that fear. So He endues us with power. Secondly, He enriches us with His love. And thirdly, He enlightens us with His wisdom. How about that? In other words, God enlightens my mind. God gives me light. God sheds light on my mind. That wisdom of God that God gives us. He gives us a sound mind. You see that? Sound mind. That don't mean that mind's a rattling and making racket. It means it's solid and on the right things. God gives us a sound mind, so He enlightens us with a sound mind. Here's how we make sure we got that fear right. Number one, we've got to admit that we have fears. Most of the saints of God run around, strut around like what I've always heard, a banny rooster. Heard that? And they're strutting around and saying, "Hey, look, I don't have no fears. I don't fear nothing. I don't fear no one." You need tonight, as a child of God, recognize that you do fear something or someone or some things from time to time. Amen. It may be another person. It might be an interview for a job. It may be on the job, something you have to face. It may be anything. And brother, it can have it in your home. It can be on your job. It can be at your church. Fears come. But we need to, number one, recognize that we have fears. We need to admit our fears. No, we need to admit our fears. But secondly, we need to activate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and start trusting Him and depending on Him. And get our faith activated tonight for Him. And number three, we need to acknowledge our Father. Recognize what David said: "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence come my help. My help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And that gets rid of that fear. Now, let me just give you this for the next little while and for the next few minutes. Let me just give you some things that will cause us and what causes us to fear God. What causes you to fear God? Now, when I say fear God, I'm not talking about tonight walking around chewing on your fingernails and shaking in your boots because that you're scared of God. Amen. In the sense that He's going to blow your head off, your shoulders, or He's going to do something drastically bad to you. But what I'm talking about, when this type of fear, I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. It's a respectful fear. We respect God for who God is. Amen. Now, what causes you to have that respectful fear for God? Let me just give you some Bible things that cause people to do it. Number one, jot this down: His presence will bring fear. His divine presence will bring fear. Go through the book of Genesis, on through the book of Revelation, and every time that God ever showed up in the presence of man, man had some godly fear. You know who the first ones were? In the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Then what happened? They sinned against God by eating the fruit they were commanded not to eat of. And immediately the Bible said they saw that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together. And when God come walking in the cool of the day, what happened? They began to hide themselves. Why? They had a holy fear of God. They had the right kind of fear. They knew that they had sinned against God. So what causes us to have a holy fear? We are sinful people, and God is a divine holy God. And sinful people before a holy God will automatically have the right kind of fear for God. The only problem is it's hard to get sinners to recognize. It's hard to get sinners to recognize that they are a sinner before God. Amen. Let me just give you one thing. I may use this again. But suppose tonight I went out to the car and got the trunk open, and I don't have them in there, but suppose I had enough life jackets to fit everybody in this church. And I rounded them all up and I drug them down the aisle, and I got up here and I said, "Here, I want to give everybody a life jacket." And you're going to look at me and say, "What in the world you want to give me a life jacket for?" And I'm going to say to you, I want to give you a life jacket because I don't want you to drown. And you're going to say, "Preacher, we ain't got no water in here. And we don't need a life jacket." And most of you are going to sit there stubborn, sitting on top of that. It's going to make me hot, and I ain't going to wear it. And I'd have a hard time, wouldn't I have a hard time tonight, putting life jackets on every one of y'all here tonight? Wouldn't I? And you say, "Why do you say that?" Because what happens is we get sinners. We tell a sinner he's going to hell. He looks at you just like you'd look at me if I was trying to put life jacket. You know why you wouldn't put a life jacket on? Because you see no need whatsoever. You see no purpose in it. But suppose all of a sudden the clouds came in and the thunder began to roll and the lightning began to flash, and brother, you'd never seen it rain like that. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in this church on a high plateau here where we are, and all of a sudden the water started coming down the aisle and it started coming up on a pew. How much trouble you think it'll be then for me to get you a life jacket? You'd say, "Preacher, get them here to me. Get them here." And that's what's happened tonight. Lost men and women don't see a need of a Savior. And we've got to get them to seeing that they're lost and on their way to hell. And they'll never get saved till they know that they're lost without God. And that's what our job is at Bible Way Baptist Church. To show them that they're sinners. We can't do that by patting them on the back and squirting rose water. We've got to give them and show them that there's a holy God. And that fear, the fear, what caused you to get saved? You had a fear that you're lost and undone and going to hell without God. And God saves you because of that fear. It's a holy fear. So first of all, the presence of God. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord, Isaiah did, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And he saw the presence of God. But it wasn't long what happened to Isaiah was, he said, "Woe is me, I'm undone, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." What happened? He saw had the holy fear of God. Brother, he recognized God in his presence. His presence will always do that. I can give you a lot of places like that. Study them when you get home. But tonight I'm thinking about one more, in particular chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he saw the glorified Christ, and after a while he fell down as a dead man, and the Lord said, "John, fear not. Behold, I'm he who live, or who is dead, but now liveth." You hear me? He had a holy fear. The fear of God put him on his knees. Until we get the presence of God in this building, Brother, we're not going to get people bowing before a holy God. That's why we need to see the presence of God. Every time God's presence is there, brother, it puts people on their knees. It shows us that we're undone. We come in here singing on songs on Sunday and Sunday night. Brother, we come in to magnify Christ. And brother, we ought to exalt Him and try to make sure we get His presence. I can't get God to come in here. I can't work it down. I can't work it up. But I can tell you tonight, brother, if we'll meet together in His name, and that's what He said, He'd be in the midst of us, and that's His presence, and that's what we want. And so I pray that God meets with us Sunday. I pray that God meets with us Sunday night. I pray God meets with us every time we come, because His presence makes us see the holiness of God, and it causes us to have a fear of God. What else causes us to have a fear of God? Amen. Time's going to get me, but I'll give them right to you quickly. Secondly, not only is His presence, but His power. Sometimes we forget about His power. When I say His power, I think about His might. I look at His might, and I see His power, and I see how He created the heavens and the earth, and He made it like it was and is. He not only made it like it is, but He sustains it all the time, and His power is in all that we see. And then on top of that, I see His power and salvation, how He can reach down and save an old wretch like you and me and change our lives completely. And when I see that, I get a holy fear of God. I fear God, don't you? I know tonight that God can save sinners. He can save my family. He can save your family. Not only that, but then something else that causes us to fear Him is His majesty. Amen. I think about His majesty. When I think about His majesty, I think about His glory. You know, sometimes we'll come into church and God will bless us and we'll sing and we'll have a testimony meeting and God will bless. And a few times we have where no preacher or nothing else. And of course, that excites a lot of people. But I'm more concerned about His presence and His glory. When His presence is there, His glory is there. And brother, I'll tell you, when you get in those services, guess what happens? You know what happens here. You lose sight of a track of time. You don't even care where you quit on time. Matter of fact, you throw your watch away because you're having such a good time. Amen. And so you look at that and you say, praise God, I don't even want to go home. We've been at this church. We didn't want to go home because it's so good. Enjoyed the presence of God. Why? Because we have that fear, that perfect fear that God gives us, that heavenly fear. And so His majesty, His glory. Amen, does it. I'll give you another one. His name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Did you know tonight the name of Jesus is so special? You just start whispering the name Jesus. There's something different about that name Jesus that none other name, amen, there's none other name, God said, given among men whereby we must be saved, but at the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus. I like that song, Jesus. We sing it. Amen. Praise God. There's something about that name. And I like it. And so what that does, it causes me to fear Him. I fear Him and reverence Him. A holy fear, a reverence fear. When I come into the house of God to worship Him. And I see His presence and feel His presence and see His divine touch. It gives me a holy fear for Him. God help me. I want to have that fear, the right fear. In His service. Amen. When I'm out serving Him and knowing He's a big God. Amen. But I'll give you one more. Brother, I'll tell you when you can see His hand. And this causes me to fear Him. That's His judgments. When I look at the judgments, now I want to tell you something. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I'm not excited about the judgment. I'm not. I dread it, but I'm glad, thank God, I'm going in it in the grace of God and through the blood of Christ. I do praise God for that. But when I go back and look at it, the first judgment I look at, the flood, how that God destroyed the earth because it was so wicked and ungodly. And lets me know that He's a holy God, and that fear has been put in my heart. And I fear God knowing that He can do that again. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and you not, the flood came and took them all away. And God says we're going to see a repeat of that in our day, and we're watching it unfold every day. We go a little bit further from that. I see how that God destroyed Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, the high priest. Because of their sinfulness, God destroyed them. I see how that God destroyed Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. I go further in the Word of God and I see how that God destroyed Uzzah when he looked down in the Ark of the Covenant, put his hands on it where he's not to have his hands. I read in the Word of God and find how that God has destroyed others. What about Ananias and Sapphira? What about Herod when he got up and made himself a great oration and went out and he fell down and the worms eat him up? What about that? I see the mercifulness of God on one side, but I see the judgment of God, and the judgment of God causes me to fear Him. And then I hear the story. God says, in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And I see the hand of God in His judgment. And yes, I fear God. Don't you fear God? I fear Him. I'm not shaking in my boots and chewing on my fingernails tonight and scared in the sense that I'd be scared of a bear. But I have a holy fear of God tonight, and I believe it's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and I want to get it right. So now what happens in closing this? Here we are worrying about this and worrying about that and fearing this and fearing that. Most of the times those things will never take place. And we're fearing it, when all we're supposed to do is fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man, as I said already, out of Ecclesiastes. What do you want to do? I want to fear God, but I want to have the right kind of fear for God, don't you? I don't want to have a wrong fear. I don't want to put God in a different position than where God really is, but I want to have the fear of God in my heart and life. Amen. Study on fear. I mean, you could just study it and study it and study it. But we need to get rid of some of this junk we've got and have a holy fear, a heavenly fear tonight, and love God with all our heart, and that perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. Trust God with all our heart, all our soul, mind, and body. Heads bowed. Thank you for coming tonight. Fear. Fear. A lot of people are tormented with fear. It has torment, he said. And they're tormented with fear. They can't live a peaceable life. They can't live an enjoyable life because they've got fear.